Robert Sanchez, and we are in Tehran. And the reason we're in Iran is because this is the place to get to know what the Iranian people think. It's a dangerous time for the world. The United States is threatening to go to war with Iran. And in many ways, the people of Iran want to be heard, and we want to listen to what they say. And this is why it's so important to understand what the situation is right now, not just for the United States, but for the entire world, especially with Iran saying they will respond in kind by attacking Gulf states, for example. So what we wanted to get, given this particular moment, is a better understanding of what it is that could possibly happen. I've done a series of interviews with people from this region and people here in Iran to understand their perspective. And what I get is, in many ways, that they believe that their story needs to be told, the good, the bad, and the ugly about this particular country right now, including what this government is doing wrong, which is why I've spoken to many government officials who've told me transparently, yes, there are protests because we in this government have made mistakes as well. I want to start with this. This is a clip that I just did. This is an interview I did with a general of the Revolutionary Guard of Iran. And he speaks specifically to something that frankly shocked me to a certain regard. And it's this. When I asked him about why the United States does not want Iran to have nuclear weapons, and that they fear that those nuclear weapons would then, in fact, also be gotten by other countries, one country in particular, his response was surprising. In fact, here is my conversation with a former commander of Iran's Revolutionary Guard. Take a listen.
The United States, and of course, the Israelis are saying, we don't want Iran to have nuclear capabilities, because if Iran has nuclear capabilities, then the Saudis are going to want nuclear capabilities. Saudis are going to say, oh, they got a bomb, we want a bomb.
They have a bomb. The Saudi Arabia at this time, I have information, very information about this and intelligence that Saudi Arabia at this time, they have a nuclear bomb and activities. The United States know very well. But
Saudi, hold on. You just said Saudi Arabia right now already has nuclear capability. They have the ability to use a nuclear bomb.
Yes, that's right.
Right now?
Yes, right now.
How do you know that?
We have a lot of information from the other Arab countries. For example, some Yemeni working inside the site of the nuclear inside the Saudi Arabia.
Wow.
Yeah.
And who gave it to them? The Americans, the Israelis, or both?
I think both of them, they know.
To be fair, there is no record of the Saudis claiming or any reports of them having nuclear weapons. And from an official standpoint, Saudi Arabia has actually been an opponent of nuclear weapons in the Middle East, and they are signatories of the Treaty on Non-Proliferation of Nuclear Weapons. Nonetheless, we are reaching out to the Saudi government for their response to these allegations. This is a very popular bazaar in Tehran. This is where you get the pulse of the people of Iran, what they think, what they're saying. And they all want to talk, by the way. And they're not afraid to talk. And what they're talking about is the negotiations between their foreign minister, Arachi, and the representatives of the United States that has been taking place in Oman, where their foreign minister is saying, essentially, yes, we're willing to talk about not enriching uranium, but we're not willing to talk about our ballistic missiles And we're not willing to talk about our relationship with the countries that antagonize Israel. And that's where the negotiations are. And it looks like it's good right now, according to the reports that we're getting. But things have changed. And I'll tell you what that change is in a minute. But first, I want you to hear from Iraqi himself. This is the foreign minister of Iran, talking about what he considers to be where the negotiations are right now in Oman. Here it is.
The negotiations were only about the nuclear file, and the Americans did not bring up any other topic. We agreed to discuss only the nuclear issue. For us, zero enrichment is off the table. Enrichment is our national right, and it must continue. Even through bombing, they were unable to destroy our capabilities. However, we are ready for an agreement where they are assured that enrichment will be peaceful in Iran. We are ready for that. Our current uranium stockpile will remain in Iran.
I suggested a moment ago that there has been something which has occurred which has changed the equation, and here it is. This was a negotiation between the United States and Iran, and there was a suggestion that maybe the negotiations were going well. Since then, there has been a reaction from Israel. Netanyahu has now said he wants to fly to Washington to meet with Mr. Trump, apparently because he wants to convince Mr. Trump not to accept any deal from Iran that doesn't stop Iran from having ballistic missiles, or that also doesn't stop Iran from having relationships with organizations that are antagonistic to Israel. So this is Benjamin Netanyahu asserting himself in this conversation. Something that, interestingly enough, a lot of newsmakers in America, the Tucker Carlsons of the world, the Candace Owens of the world, some members of Congress and others like Cenk Uygur are saying, no, the United States should not be taking directions from Israel at this particular time. But that seems to be what's happening in this case. And I think it's an important part of the story, which is why I want you to hear Mr. Netanyahu, the Prime Minister of Israel, or the information that's coming out of his office as we speak. And here it is.
Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is expected to meet with U.S. President Donald Trump this Wednesday in Washington and will discuss with him the negotiations with Iran. The Prime Minister believes any negotiations must include limitations on ballistic missiles and a halting of the support for the Iranian axis.
Thank you. It's hard to be in a place like this. So many foods, and they're all so natural, and not at least try it. And the people seem to be so friendly about this. So we heard the Israeli perspective. We heard, in many ways, the Iranian perspective. And of course, we know what the position is of the Trump administration. Now I want you to hear something else. This is my interview with General Kanini. I want you to hear what he says, why he says it, and you may be surprised by his level of transparency. Hear now my interview with the former commander of the Revolutionary Guard. General, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much. Welcome to Iran.
Thank you. Thank you so much, sir. Your story is amazing. Amazing. You were imprisoned by the Shah. You've lost four brothers between you and your wife. You fought in the war. You were Soleimani before Soleimani. So you know your country. You know the history of your country. And lately, things have been troubling here. Let's start with the protests. How concerned are you about these protests? Tell me what you think is happening in your country.
In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful, thank you very much. Welcome to Iran. I think you have to know about the law of the in Iran, the main law about the you can demonstration, protest, and say some things to government about what's happened and what they do about the...
Sure. And yeah, there's protests in every country.
Yes.
In America right now.
Yeah. And this is the law in Iran. But according to this law, you have to protest without any gun and without any demonstration against the Islam. That's a religion of the original religion in Iran.
Mm-hmm.
But during the 10 years ago, not just only this year, this protest in this year, you have a find some demonstration by the pro of the government and anti and opposition of the government.
Yes.
But without any destroy and fire and kill and use the gun. But during this demonstration recently, you can show the film and some document and evidence about that. They use the, some protests, not the people. Some terrorist group from the outside of the Iran.
Instigators.
Yes.
Instigators.
Instigators.
Mossad?
Yeah, you may ask Mossad intelligence service and CIA, CIA as yeah. well, and other callings of the...
well, the, I should say, this is not you saying this. Mossad said this.
Yes, that's right.
The former CIA director and chief advisor. Netanyahu said it. Pompeo said it.
Yes, that's
so,
right.
So the people who were involved in helping to instigate, as you say... Yeah. who maybe infiltrated the protesters, have said on the record, yes, yeah, we infiltrated the protesters. And obviously that...
They used the protests like a cover for the fighting against the government,
yes.
not use the people for the demonstration.
Mm.
Just only they want to kill the, some people for the, for example, say, oh, in Iran, there is no human rights and they're killing the people and like that.
No, you are, you're absolutely right. And I think anybody who's looked at this knows that much of the causality of these protests has to do with outside influences, which yeah. has, in fact, Mr. Bessent, Scott Bessent, the Treasury Secretary,
yeah.
recently said, we drove down the currency of Iran, the riyal, yeah. so that the people would be angry. We did that on purpose. He said that.
You know, the United States, they have a plan against the Iran. One of that is a war against the economy of the Iran. Mm-hmm. That's a terrorism economy. You know, the sanction, embargo, blockade,
mm-hmm.
and they stopped the export the oil from the Iran.
Sure.
All of that, they caused the influence in Iran. And this matter for the currencies come down.
Yes.
And this is a big problem for the people because the Iranian people need to for export,
of course.
Export the oil and back the money to in Iran. For the salary and for the budget. And the United States, they try according the strategy of the United States.
Uh-huh.
You know, the strategy of the United States according the what's the name?
What they want to do to to destroy.
Yes.
The economy.
The economy. Destroy the economy for the push more to people. That's a force from outside, like the sanction, and inside is a force to the government.
You know, there's a question I missed a minute ago, and I want to talk about more about the actual protest and what is the cause, what is leading people to do this. But I just thought of something, since... You were the head of the Revolutionary Guard. You were the top chief of the Revolutionary Guard in Iran, so you understand security. And you just told me yourself that agents from Mossad, infiltrators from other countries, were in among the protesters. What does that say for Iran's security? Who let them in? How did they get here? Explain that to me.
Yes, I know very well about that. The security forces in Iran, they must be stopped before the demonstration. They try to stop all of the activities of the Mossad and CIA and like that.
Huh.
But
MI6?
MI6. But I think during this year, the United States used the hybrid war. The hybrid war is used the cyber war, intelligence war, economy war, military, use the terrorism group and everything. They together to push the government and force the government. I think.
So are there agents? Are there Mossad agents right now walking the streets of Tehran?
No, I don't think so.
No?
No, no.
So who are these people?
They use the other people from the other side and use the Iranian as well. Like the, that's you call the, in the war, five column, you know, the spy from
I see.
The Mossad. They use the paid money and they guided this people and used them.
So when we say they infiltrated the protesters, Mossad physically did not get in among the protesters. They recruited bad people.
Maybe some leader of that is a member of the Mossad from the other countries, not the Israel. Maybe some of the member of the Mossad in Italy, from the Germany, from the France, or in Iraq and in Afghanistan, maybe.
Of course.
This member maybe came to Iran and leader of the demonstration during this war, this year.
Now, but let's talk about the root cause. Because yes, I think you're absolutely right. And you have every right to complain, as any sovereign country does, whether it's Venezuela or Cuba, or the Russia-Ukraine conflict, there's always intervention and interference, oftentimes from the West. I mean, we know that. You don't have to be a genius to figure that out. But still, there seems to be something boiling inside Iran right now. There are a lot of angry people, and they're angry because the Riyadh a year ago was at 80,000, and now it's at 260,000, more than tripled. And they're having a hard time buying things because of inflation. That's a legitimate complaint, right? Those aren't bad people. Those are just people who want to be able to feed their wife and their children, correct?
Is it different? I have a different idea.
Please, of course.
Because some part of the demonstration is unsatisfied about the economy, and they have some demonstration against that.
Right.
But the back of this plan that designed by the Zionism in the United States against the Iran, not the people of the Iran at this time. They want to separate the Iran and collapse the government and destroy all the Iran, not just only the Islamic Republic of government.
Yeah.
They try to use the, you know, the Israel try to big Israel land in Saudi Arabia, in Turkey, in Iraq, in Jordan and Syria and all of this area. They have a plan about the whole of this area. This is one part of that. The demonstration in Iran, maybe the core of that is the economy.
Yes.
But in this demonstration is bigger than the economy. Mm. They try to they fire the mosque and holy book of the Quran and kill the security police in Iran, and destroyed the mosque and many things. it is not for the economy. It is for the destroy yes. the Iran, not and Islam, destroy the Islam and Iran.
But grant me, would you not say, though, that if somehow the Iranian government can find a way to make the Iranian people feel more content and secure about their economic situation, maybe the word I'm looking for is more hope for the future. Wouldn't things be better? Of course.
Yes, that's right. But the hope is not enough. We need the plan, and we need the program for the expansion and solve the problem for the economy people. But if you under the pressure of the sanction and embargo and blockade, it's very difficult.
Yes, yes, that's a very important point. So here's the deal. So here's where we are. Here's what they're talking about in Oman. Your foreign minister, very smart man, along with Mr. Witkoff and Mr. Kushner, who I think are representing Israel more than the United States, but whatever. It seems that the United States is saying to Iran, look, we don't want you to in any way enrich uranium enough to be able to turn it into some kind of nuclear weapon. And Iran is saying to the United States, we will consider that. You know, we're going to enrich a little bit, maybe 3%, 4%. That's not enough to have nuclear weapons. You need to get to 90% for nuclear weapons for enrichment. As you know, you're yeah. smarter than I am about this. And then Iran is saying to the United States, if we do that, get rid of the sanctions. Stop the sanctions so our people can eat.
For guarantee of this decision, because you know the Supreme Leader Ayatollah Khamenei said, according the order, not order in government, order, religion order.
Yes.
We never use the and construction and build the nuclear weapon. Never.
Mm.
The United States know very well about that.
Yeah.
But the Trump, you know, according the theory of the Brzezinski, he's a madman. You know, the Brzezinski, like the Nixon, used this during the war, Cold War between United States and Soviet Union.
Yes.
Before.
Leonard Brzezinski.
Yeah.
Yes.
Brzezinski. This is a theory of the fighting against the Iran. The Trump is a madman. They try to say, okay, we don't know anything. I will do everything, and I am coming, my finger on the top of the nuclear weapon, according the attack against the Iran. And according this, you know, the theory of the chicken in United States. Theory of chicken, the chicken is a very...
What is it? No, tell me the story.
The chicken... Yeah, is a win-win, and you maybe is a false and win against them.
Mm-hmm.
The chicken, according to your discourse, maybe go out from the road, for example,
right.
to vehicle coming
right.
with through them. And if we stop before the clash and...
Playing chicken. Yes, it's a game of chicken. Yes, it's a very famous story, expression in the yes. United States. Yeah, we also say, who will blink first?
Yes, that's right.
Two people staring at each other. Right. Who will blink first? That's,
the Trumps use this game, chicken, for against the Iran. But the Iranian and Supreme Leader and the leader of the Iran... they play the chess, you know, the chess.
Mm.
We try to find the 10 or 20 move of the United States.
I had. Yeah.
And analyze all of this action and decided to what we have to do about that. And I think at this time, Trump tried to more forces against the Iran.
Mm-hmm.
But the negotiation between Iran and United States is not in Muscat. We have a three table for negotiation. One of that in the Persian Gulf.
Mm-hmm.
When the army of the Iran Navy and the IRGC, they have missiles in land to land and land to sea and land to air. And the other side is a warship of the United States. Mm-hmm. They send a message to them together. This is one part of the negotiation.
Mm.
And other part of that is a Muscat, diplomatic negotiation and deal. And other part of that, the third table for the negotiation in this area, for example, the Hezbollah, Yemen is a Ansarullah, Hashd al-Sha'bi. This is one part of the force of the Iran outside of the Iran.
I think what you're trying to say is that Iran's power that it wields is not just about we will make nuclear weapons or we won't make nuclear weapons. Iran's power is that it manifests the possibility to do things that would be a huge problem for Mr. Trump and for the global oil markets, not to mention the Gulf states, each one of where the United States has bases. And Iran could shoot at those bases, thereby starting a conflagration. So Iran could shut down the Persian Gulf, essentially, right?
Iran, Strait of the Hormuz is close.
The Strait of Hormuz, because it's tiny.
Yeah.
Iran could attack all the bases in those countries.
Like the Al Udeid and in Iraq, the base of the Iraq.
And that's
Ain al-Assad.
That's power, I suppose, right? Yeah. That's a negotiating.
Yeah.
Mr. Trump understands power.
Negotiation between missiles and that's the warship of the United States.
Well, you're the commander of the Revolutionary Guard, were. Is that viable? Is that something you think? Iran has never said they wanted to do that. But for the first time, I'm hearing people like yourself and others say, no, we will do that. If we're pushed, we will do that.
Yes, that's right. I have another thing about the power is not enough. Resistance is very important. For example, Libya, Gaddafi has a power.
Mm.
But they can't resistance against the policy of the United States. But Iran had the power and resistance against the policy of the Iran, the hegemony of the United States in this area. This is very important. This is two very important things.
But do you really, though? Because it seems to me that while you may have Turkey and some Arab countries, the Gulf state countries seem to me to be more beholden to the United States and even to a certain extent to Israel than to you. Am I wrong to say that?
No, that's right. That's right.
Does that make you mad?
No.
Does it make you mad?
If you look at the Strait of the Hormuz, we don't like to close it.
Yeah.
We control of the all the ship inside the Strait of the Hormuz and Persian Gulf.
Yeah.
We don't like to fight against the economy of the China, Russia, and Arab countries in Persian Gulf.
Mm-hmm.
We just only use this gun like the gun by the control against the United States and Israel.
Do you have the capability as far as you know? I know you're not in there right now. You don't look at the numbers, you don't know the actual weaponry, but from your past and your history and your connections now, does Iran have the ballistic capability to do that kind of attack?
Yes. Yeah. if, you know, the...
You said yes.
The new doctrine of the defense and in Iran is that we are not waiting for attack, for example, United States and Israel against Iran. Before that, if we have some knowledge and information about they are ready to attack against Iran, we will attack against the Israel and United States, base of the United States in this area. Hmm. It's a different doctrine of the Iranian.
Preemptive.
Yes.
You're saying preemptive?
Yes, that's right. And
the famous Dick Cheney, George Bush.
Yes, that's right. That's it. And if the United States and Israel, they want to attack against Iran, at the first step, we can fire more than 2,000 missiles, ballistic missiles.
2,000?
Yes, 2,000 in one time, not many yes. time. One time, and the head of this missiles is a 2,000 kilogram explosion. Like the 3 or 4 atomic bomb. Hmm. This is very clear. And Israel, they know. They send a message to the Putin in Russia. We are not any decision about, we haven't any decision about the attack against Iran. Hmm. Because they know very well. If they want to attack against Iran, destroy the Tel Aviv and
So why, let's go back to the conversation that Mr. Araghchi and Mr. Witkoff and company are having right now, along with Admiral Cooper, who apparently is there representing the U.S. military. Why not a simple deal? Iran says no more sanctions. And if you do that, stop punishing our economy, lift the sanctions, and we will not enrich uranium to have nuclear weapons, period. And we will sign that in blood if we have to.
Yes.
Why not?
Yes, this is the one condition. The sanction is for the guarantee of the United States, they don't use the military reaction against the Iran. Mm-hmm. This is just only. And after that, okay, we are ready to negotiation about the enrichment of the uranium and the capability of the...
So you're playing chicken. You're playing chicken
yes,
again.
Yes, that's right.
You're
because
saying,
during the war, during the last war, 12 days war in Iran, we on the table of the negotiation with the USA in Qatar, when we are staying and the negotiation, they attack me. We never back to that condition.
Yeah, no, it was, they kind of fooled you, didn't they?
Yeah, that's right.
They fooled you. Yeah. You believe, no, we're still negotiating, and then...
Just for the guarantee of that the United States changed the policy, policy of against Iran.
Let me ask you this. This is interesting, because I think from what I'm hearing from the negotiations is that the United States, and of course the Israelis are saying, we don't want Iran to have nuclear capabilities, because if Iran has nuclear capabilities, then the Saudis are going to want nuclear capabilities. Saudis are going to say, oh, they got a bomb, we want a bomb.
They have a bomb. The Saudi Arabia at this time, I have information, very information about this and intelligence that the Saudi Arabia at this time, they have a nuclear bomb and activities. The United States know very well. But
Saudi, hold on. You just said, Saudi Arabia right now already has nuclear capability. They have the ability to use a nuclear bomb.
Yes, that's right.
Right now?
Yes, right now.
How do you know that?
We have a lot of information from the other Arab countries. For example, some Yemeni working inside the site of the nuclear, inside the Saudi Arabia.
Wow.
Yeah.
And who gave it to them? The Americans, the Israelis, or both?
I think both of them, they know. And the United States tried to use the plan for the Abraham. Mm. One of the condition of the United and the Saudi Arabia joined to the Abraham, what do you call it?
The Abraham Accord.
Yes, the Accords. Is one of that is the Saudi Arabia must be like the Pakistan. The Pakistan has a nuclear, and they have a bomb, but under control of the United States. Saudi Arabia just only according the model of the Pakistan, they can use the nuclear power and the atomic bomb without any reaction of the Israel against them. If they signed this contract of the Israel about the Abraham for joint to the policy of the United States.
What does that say, though? Think about that for a minute. Does Israel know that the Saudis have a bomb?
Yeah, I think, yes, they know.
If the Israelis know that the Saudis have a bomb and they're okay with it, think about what that means. That means they're allies. They're very close.
You know that Saudi Arabia is not alone. It is joined with the other Arab and Islam countries.
In the Gulf states?
Yes, in the Gulf states.
UAE, Qatar, you think?
They have a lot of contract with the United States, more than $10 trillion. They have signed a contract with the United States and Trump. And the Israel, they don't like to any cancel of this contract if they want to attack the Saudi Arabia.
Let me give you another.
This is a benefit of the United States. The Israel and Saudi Arabia, both of them, they allies for United States.
What? Here's another famous saying in America. What came first, the chicken or the egg?
Yeah.
Right? So let me ask you, what came first? Israel's hatred of Iran or Iran's hatred of Israel?
Yes.
Which came first? Did you?
First, Israel. If the United States attacked to Iran, in the first step, we attacked the Israel before they attacked the base of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
This is absolutely.
You are now ready to attack Israel if the United States attacks Iran.
Yeah.
Because you feel like everything, all this antagonism against Iran is not really coming from Washington, it's coming from Israel.
I look at all of the action and reaction inside my country and outside of my country. And this is my analyze for the military action.
Let's finish with the famous thing that I have to ask you because it almost seems like it's part of the lexicon. I'm American and you're Iranian, and this is a very enlightening conversation, and I think you're a very smart man.
I think you're a good man.
I think you're a good man. We as Americans, we always hear this "Death to America" chant. Do Iranians hate Americans? Do you innately hate me because I'm American?
No, I don't hate.
I'm in your house, and you've been so gracious.
The people of the American, we don't any hate of against them. We hate against the policy of the United States in this area, and in the world.
The government.
Yes, and if they change the policy against the Muslim and Iranian, we can establish a new relation with the United States. But if they don't like to change the base of the idea against the Iran and Islam, We never to coalition and coordination and cooperation with the United States.
Mm. Yeah. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for your time.
Have a good
this
time.
It's really, you know, and you know what's fascinating is I feel like it was two friends talking.
Yeah.
Regular, and there was nothing I couldn't ask you, and you were honest and sincere. And as a journalist, I appreciate that.
Thank you very much. I hope you have a good pleasure, good time in Iran, and visit the many historic place and many attractive and art museum inside the.
It's a beautiful town. Country.
Yes, that's right.
Beautiful, wonderful people.
I hope visit United States.
You'll come to my house. I'd be honored.
Future.
Yes, to Miami.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, General.
You know, there's so much to see. There is so much to say as this story unfolds and the conversations continue. And we hear more from both the people of the United States, the people of the world, certainly Israel's perspective and the American perspective. But we think it's very important to be here. We've said this before. For me, there's nothing more important than talking to the people of the place that is affected by the news stories that we tell. That's why we're here. That's why we're in Tehran. We think the people of this country deserve to be heard. Their perspective should be heard. And we want to share it for the sake of transparency, for the sake of what we consider to be real journalism. This is The Sanchez Effect. I'm Rick Sanchez. Thank you so much for being with us. And thank you so much for allowing us into your homes. We'll be looking for you next time.